It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Acts, we just left chapter 26. And we saw in that chapter how that Paul appeared before the king Agrippa, and how that Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, Paul knew that King Agrippa was a Jew, and he knew that he was familiar with the Old Testament and everything. So King Agrippa had no excuse for not believing what Paul was telling him about Jesus Christ. Well, Paul had earlier requested that he be questioned by Augustus Caesar. So therefore, what we find now in Acts chapter 27 is Paul going to Rome. And this would be an all-expense-paid trip for Paul going into Rome. But once again, there's a lot of things that took place in Paul's life that, we can look at and say that so many people have gone through some bad things. But Paul went through a lot of bad things. But he never lost his attitude and his zeal to promote and to lift up Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. So we look now in Acts chapter 27, and we see that Paul is off to Rome. And there was a ship that was leaving there. And in verse 1 of Acts 27, the first part of that says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy." Now, once again, it was determined, it was decided that the prisoners, there was more than one prisoner here. Paul was a prisoner, but there were others. It was decided that these prisoners should sail to Italy. And then the rest of that verse says, "They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band." Well, Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment, took custody of Paul and the other prisoners. And the last part of that verse in chapter 27, verse 1 says, "They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band." Well, we see here that Paul's on his way now. And in verse 2 of Acts 27, it says, "And entering into a ship of," this is hard for me to say, a Dramatium, a ship of that area, in that country, "we launched," meaning to sail, "by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us." Well, the travelers boarded a ship, a Dramatium, to sail along the Asian coast. And once again, this place was a city of Asia Minor on the coast of Mysia. This which in early times was called Aeolus. Now, the ship in which Paul embarked at Caesarea belonged to this city, and he was conveyed in it only to Myra in Lycia. And it was a rare thing for a ship to sail from any port of Palestine direct for Italy. And it still bears the name Adramyta, and it is a place of some traffic. Well, in verse 2 of Acts 27, it says, it mentions one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Well, this Aristarchus was a Macedonian of Thessalonica, and of course, he was accompanying Paul. You can go back and read Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, and Philemon chapter 1, verse 24, and you see more about Aristarchus. Well, we continue on, and once again, let me read this in Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. It says, "And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius," and here's this name now, this person, Aristarchus. They caught these men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, and they rushed with one accord into the theater. And then Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." Well, we see this man Aristarchus mentioned more than once in the scriptures. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 3, it says, "And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." Well, this Sidon, Julius, the centurion of verse 1, treated Paul very well. He evidently realized, now, you see, the Lord can work things out for a Christian. The Lord can work in a Christian's life, and there's a difference for a Christian than there is for an unsaved person. People recognize Christians. And of course, this is, once again, this is if you're living a life of a Christian. And as a Christian, you need to be living for the Lord. Because you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. But this centurion recognized something in Paul, and he was kind to him, and he allowed him to go to his friends and receive care, according to verse 3 of Acts 27. Now, Acts chapter 27 and verse 4 goes on to say, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under," and this means near, "we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia." Well, and we keep reading here now, and we find in verses 6 through 8 that there was a ship of Alexandria. Verse 6 says, "And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein." Well, the city of Myra, a city of Lycia, they were in Cilicia. They sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia. And they came to Myra, and this is where they got on another ship. And once again now, we see the hand of the Lord working here. Verse 7 of Acts 27 says, "And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Nidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against the Salamone." And verse 8 of Acts chapter 27 says, "And hardly," and then that word hardly means barely, "and hardly passing it," and they were passing Salamone, "they came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." Well, they arrived at this harbor, and it was called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now, let me remind you of something here. What I'm simply doing is going through and telling you what the Bible is saying. No, I'm not interpreting. I'm just simply passing on what the Bible is saying. And I remind you that some people say they can't understand the Word of God. And my first question is, how often have you read it? It's sad that some Christians will make that statement. Well, when's the last time you picked up the Bible and you started reading and studying? The Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you're having trouble understanding the scriptures, it may be one of two things. Either you as a Christian, you're not studying the word of God, or as an unsaved person, you can't understand the word of God, because the things that are found in the word of God are meant for the edification of the person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And let me quickly add that there is something you can understand as an unsaved person, and that is you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. And Jesus said He wants to save you. And that is something that you can understand, and you can understand how to be saved. It's a free gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, we continue reading now in Acts chapter 27, and we see that Paul gives a warning of disaster. We read about this in verse 9 and 10 of Acts 27. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship," in other words, the ship was carrying, "but also of our lives." Well, now, once again, we stop and think here, and I mentioned, you know, it talks about fasting in those verses. Paul had evidently been fasting, which undoubtedly included praying. And after the fast, Paul warned of the impending danger, which he said could cause the ship and everything and everyone on the ship to be lost. And we've read that in Acts chapter 27 and verse 9. He's warning people. But notice what happens here. We read in verse 13 of Acts 27, it says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Well, as we look at the crew here and the one who is in charge of the prisoners, this would be the centurion, and he evidently listened to the person in charge of the ship instead of listening to the warning Paul had given. And the ship sailed and passed near Crete, according to the verse we just read, verse 13. Well, we continue on here and we start reading in verse 14. It says, "But not long after there arose," not long after they left and they left the port, "there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon." Well, shortly we see that there was a typhonic headwind that arose, and it caused something to take place with this ship. And I'm sure it started tossing around, and this storm was called Euryclidon. Now, as we read in verse 15, it says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." In other words, they just let it go. They couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't control the ship. And verse 16 of Acts 27 says, "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." In other words, they kept working and working, trying to keep the boat from sinking. Well, the ship was driven south of an island called Clauda. And because of the great wind there, there was much work to do, which included bringing the dinghy, and that would be the boats, the small boats on board the ship. And they would be hanging on the side, I suppose. And they would bring those in order that, once again, if they were shipwrecked, they could get in those boats and be saved. When we continue reading in verse 17 of Acts 27, it says, "Which when they had taken up, they used helps." In other words, they brought those little boats in and they were ready. And they were doing everything they could to salvage or save the ship. And it says they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and were so driven. The helps, and these helps spoken of in verse 17, were probably cables for bracing the hull. Once again, it was something to increase the strength and to make that hull a little more seaworthy during this storm. Verse 18 goes on to say, "And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that they reduced the weight of the ship by evidently throwing unnecessary things overboard. And I would think everything, because they were concerned about dying, being drowned, being killed, going into the quicksand, whatever was there. They were afraid they were going to die, so they did everything possible to save the ship and their lives. Now, we're going to pick up here next time, and we're going to see what happened to Paul and those other people on the ship. Did they die? Did they go to somewhere else, to an island? What happened to them? Well, the Lord's will, the next time we'll read more and we'll find out what happened to Paul and the other prisoners as they were on their way to Rome. Paul was going to see Caesar Augustus.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.